Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14 has been our passage for the last month. This morning we'll be finishing up verses 13 and 14, and we'll go from there. Let's stand, if you will, and we will read it together out of the Word of God. I will read it. You can follow along with me. And again, normally we read out of the King James, but I'm going to read this in out of the NIV because that's what many of you have been practicing, memorizing and all. But Jeremiah 29:11, verse number 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. Thank you for the great time we've already had in your house this morning together. We've enjoyed the fellowship. We've certainly enjoyed the worship, the music. Father, we gather around your word now. We need to be fed. We come today, we are hungry. Father, I'll be very honest this morning. My voice is already weak. Father, I pray this morning that you'll give the strength that I need to be able to deliver this message in a way that you would have it delivered. And Holy Spirit, this morning, would you take it to our hearts and apply it? Stir us, challenge us this morning, Father, not to be said, not to settle for just be a casual Christian. But Father, let us earnestly seek you with all of our heart. Father, bless this time we have together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You're familiar with the background of the text. Many of the Jews have been taken into captivity. They're homesick. They're wanting to return to their homeland. There have been false prophets who've come on the scene and said, "Yeah, we're going back home. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be all right. We're going home in just a couple of years." And Jeremiah comes on the scenes and he says, "Hang on, boys. We're going home, but we're not going home for 70 years. And that means many of these people that are here in captivity, they will never go home. They will never see home again. They were never turning back to the place they grew up. And there is a sense of pride, nationalism for the Jews. They want to return back to their homeland." And Jeremiah says, "We're not going back for 70 years. But he says, what you need to do is you just need to settle down here. You need to go ahead and plant your gardens. You need to go ahead and make this your home. You need to go ahead and have children. You need to go ahead and let your children have children. You need to have grandbabies. Life goes on even in the time of trials." And so that is a real lesson for us to learn there. God said, "I want to prosper you." And a lot of people take that text and say, "Oh, that means I'm not going to be sick. I'm not going to have any problems or have all the money I need." That's not what that's saying. God is saying, "I'm going to prosper you. You're going to be able to flourish even in the bad times." And so what an encouragement that is for us. Even in the midst of trials, God, we can receive God's blessings. The key to being blessed, being prosperous in times of trials, is found there in verse number 13 and verse number 14. God said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, declares the Lord, and I'll bring you back from captivity." You understand there is a predominant theme that goes all through the Word of God, and that is that God is seeking man. It's the story of redemption, how that God provided a way for man to be reconciled, to be made right with Him. It is about man, a way for a man to be restored in that relationship with God. And just as much as it is about God reaching out to man and God seeking man, it's about the story of redemption. It's about man seeking God as well. You see, it's a two-way street. The other side of the coin, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, the predominant theme of redemption in the Bible is God seeking man, but it's also man seeking God. You see that there is something that is in the heart of man that causes a longing and a desire to have a relationship with an eternal being. That is the reason we all have that emptiness on the inside. We are looking, we are searching for something. And I try to tell you, we try to fill it with activities. We try to fill it with different things that we do, with relationships. We try to fill it with drugs, with alcohol. We try to do it with sex. And we try to fill that void on the inside of us, something that makes us feel whole, but nothing can take the place of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that longing within us. I'm not complete. I'm searching for something. You will never be complete without Jesus Christ. And The story of redemption is God seeking man, but it's also about man seeking God. The greatest love story that was ever written is a story of love between God and mankind. The story of the Creator being in love with His creation. The story of the ruler of the universe loving and longing to have a relationship with you and a relationship with me. All through human history, all through Scripture, it's a story of God pursuing man and man pursuing God over and over again. We see how Scripture talks about God seeking man and man seeking God. A songwriter a few years ago took the words out of Psalms chapter number 42 and he wrote a praise song and he said, "As a deer panteth after the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you." In 2 Chronicles 15:2, King Asa was returning home after being victorious in the battle. Yet when he came back home to his nation, he found that he had a bigger battle to fight at home. The people that were turning away from God at home. And the prophet told him, "The Lord is with you. He will be with you while you are with Him. If you will seek Him, He will be found by you." He's reiterating that theme, man seeking God. 1 Chronicles 16:11, the Jews have brought the Ark of the Covenant back to its home in Jerusalem. They have placed it in the tabernacle. And David sings a song of thanksgiving there in verse number 11. And he says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." And there is that theme again. We're to continually be seeking after God. David would also write the 63rd Psalm and he'd say, "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is." I love the verse that says, "As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs for You." Even when you get to the New Testament, Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter number 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And there in what He would say in chapter 7 and verse number 7 of Matthew, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." The psalmist said in Psalms 37 verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Are you seeking Him this morning? Psalm 34 verse number 4 said, "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from my fears." People say, "I don't know why God doesn't answer my prayer." How much are you seeking Him? How earnestly are you engaging with God? Psalms 105 says, "Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore." Psalms 119:2, "Blessed are they that keep His commandments and that seek Him with the whole heart." It can't be a casual relationship with God. Over and over again, Scripture commands we're to seek God. And we're to do it with all of our heart. We can't be divided. The reason we preach on it on a regular basis, the reason we talk about it, the reason we teach on it, you need a personal relationship with God. Today, just a few thoughts on about seeking God. Let me just ask as we begin, why do we seek God with our whole heart? Why do we seek Him? Think about that. You need to be answering for yourself that question, why do I seek God? Why should it be important that I have an intimate, close relationship with Him? See, it's one thing for the preacher to stand up here and preach about on a regular basis, and you say, "Preacher, we need to be reminded." But it's the other thing for the man, for the person on the pew, are we developing that personal relationship with God? We need to know why. We need to understand why it's important. I spend time with God every day. Why should I read my Bible every day? Why should I pray every day? Why should my prayer life be more than just on the way to work every morning, saying a few sentences to God? There must be a time where we fall on our face, we get in our prayer closets, and we get a hold of the throne room of heaven and say, "God, I am not leaving until You answer my prayer." You've got to have that time with God. Do you understand why we need that relationship? It's like in math class. Teacher tells you, you've got to know the answer when you see the problem. but you've got to give her the formula back. How did you get that answer? Little Tommy was in math class one day, and the teacher gave him a test. And he looked at the first problem, and he thought, oh, man, I know that. We studied that. I'm trying to think what was the answer. And he sat there for a long time, and his eyes were wandering around. And finally, he wrote some things down on his paper, and he thought, I got the first answer right. Then he thought for a moment. He looked down underneath that question. It said, how did you get that answer? He thought for a moment, and he wrote, I looked at Billy's paper. Not the answer the teacher wanted. You need to know, why are you seeking God with your whole heart? Why? Cindy and Deidre, I believe, were the two I saw posted on Facebook. Others may have seen it, and you may have posted it as well. Little boy asked his daddy, he said, Daddy, how big is God? Daddy thought for a moment, and he looked up in the sky, and he said, you see that airplane up there? Little boy said, yeah. He said, how big is that airplane? He said, it's just a little bitty. And so they went on throughout the day, and the daddy took him by the airport. And he said, can you see those airplanes over there? And the little boy said, yeah, those are big airplanes. He said, how big do they look to you now? He said, Daddy, they're giant airplanes. Daddy told him, said, did you know that is the same size airplane sitting over there that you saw up in the sky? And the little boy said, wow. And then Daddy said, how big is God? It's just like that airplane. See, it depends on how close you are to the airplane, how big it is to you. So how big is your God? Well, it depends on how close you are to Him. Why do I need to seek God with my whole heart? Why do I need to get to know Him? Why do I need to have an intimate relationship? Why do I need to be in close relationship with God on a regular basis? Did you ever think about the fact that my life is full of struggles? I got problems, I got heartaches. Anybody have any struggles this week? I don't know about you, but I think I did. I tell you what, I need to be close to my Heavenly Father, my God in heaven. I need to know how big He is. I need to know that He's bigger than my problems. I need to know that He can handle them and He's got everything under control. Now, if you're a long ways off from God, you're going to have a little bitty God, and you're not going to believe He can help you in that time of struggles. But if you've got that close, intimate relationship with Him, you'll realize how big He is, and He can handle anything that comes your way. God wants you to grow. Did you ever think about the fact why God wants you to draw close to Him? God created man. I was talking to Connie about this. Created man. Knowing that man was going to disobey Him. Knowing that man would rebel. Knowing that man would do what He told him not to do. Knowing that man would be more self-centered and concerned more about his thoughts and ideals and wishes and desires and dreams than he did about God's. Yet God created him anyway. God created man perfect. He put them, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. Perfect situation. And then man messed it up. God went to a lot of effort. He knew man was going to disobey anyway. And He did it anyway. He did it anyway. Why? Because God longed for the time when Him and Adam and Eve could walk together in the cool of the evening in the garden. Just talk. Young couple gets married. One of the first things pops into their head is, let's have a baby. I don't know how to tell you young couples this, but once you have that baby is going to disappoint you. That baby's going to cause some problems. That baby's going to rebel. That baby's going to mess up everything. There are going to be some challenges with that baby. But mama and daddy are going to have that baby anyway. You know why? Because they want that baby to fall up in their lap, and they want that snuggle time They want love on that baby and have that baby love on them. That's what it's all about. And God went ahead and created man knowing he was going to disobey because he wants that snuggle time. We were talking about in life group last Sunday morning about different examples of people who walked with God. Connie mentioned the story about Enoch. The Bible says Enoch was not, for God took him. The story was told of Enoch and God were out just fellowshipping, talking one day, just enjoying the day, walking along, enjoying visiting with each other. And all of a sudden, God looked over at Enoch and he said, "Now, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are yours. Won't you just come on home and spend the day with me?" And Enoch went on to heaven with God that day, and they've been there ever since, because there's never been night ever come to that place. Wow. Enoch and God walking together. You find that that David in the Old Testament, David said, "Evening and morning and noon will I seek thee." David knew what it was to have an intimate relationship with God. Paul, even in the prison, would sing the praises unto God. Even in the shackles, even in the dungeons, even in the darkness, he would sing and praise. Why? Because he wanted to fellowship with God. You knew how much God loves you and how much he wants to be with you. It would want you to make you want to spend time with him. 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. And our love for God ought to be like that love between that young couple. They fall in love and they just can't get along without each other. A few weeks ago, Pastor Cotter so vividly illustrated that. The young couple in love, while they look at each other with the goo-goo eyes, and when they have to be away from each other, they get on the phone with each other and they'll sit there for hours just breathing on the phone, listen to each other breathe. The other day I called Connie. She thought I was a young man in love again. I just breathed hard on the phone. She said, "Oh, I love you too, baby." I'm out of breath. I'm at Walmart. And I can't get back to the car. Yeah. Old people still get on the phone, just breathe to each other. It's just a different reason. We ought to fall in love with each other like that. We ought to fall in love with God like that. Nothing else matters. We just want to be with the one that we're in love with. Too long after we've been a Christian for a little while, our love grows cold. It grows indifferent. The longer we're saved, someday our love ought to grow stronger. It ought to grow deeper. We ought to be more committed in our relationship with God. And if you get a grasp on the fact that God loves you, and he loves you when you are unworthy. He loves you even when you were not lovable. That he loves you in spite of that. He loves you unconditionally. He loves for you with a love that will never end. Then if you understood that much how he loved you, you would love him even more. We would begin to seek him like he seeks us. Why do I want a relationship with God? Because I understand how much he wants that relationship with me. Well, how do I get it? I'm going to go very quick. If you take notes, I'm going to give you six reasons. Six ways we seek God. And let me just say, number one, as you seek God, it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some effort. Seeking God is more intense than when you are looking for your cell phone and can't find it. Okay? I know that gets pretty intense. Visiting some folks this morning as they came in, and one of them was looking for something in their purse. And they were looking. I said, "How you know?" "Well, I'm pretty intense right now." You know what it's like when you lose your car keys? Have you ever been there? Somebody said that this morning when they came in. Usually it's the men we lose our keys. "I can't find my keys. I'm late for work. Who got my keys? Did you kids get back my keys? I'm playing with them. This is not funny. You better bring my keys back right now. I got to have my keys. I'm going to work." And you're looking all through the house, and finally your wife looks at you and says, "They're right here, right where you left them." Oh, okay. We get to looking for our keys pretty intense. A few months ago, before I had my hip surgeries, Connie and I went to Walmart, and I couldn't get out and walk very good, so I told her, I said, "I'll just sit here in the car." I sat there in the car, and I seen this old man come out. You could tell he was looking. He was walking up and down the rows, and he's looking for his car. And he had his teeth hanging out, and he's going, he's honking that horn. Honking that horn. See if he'd find his keys. Then I noticed, find his car. And I noticed down the row a little bit, there were some teenagers in the car. And that old man would go, honk, honk. And them teenagers go, honk, honk. He'd walk this way, he'd go, honk, honk. He'd turn around and go this way, and they'd honk, honk. And he'd go back this way. Now, some of you are laughing at that, okay? In some religions, you go to hell for laughing at that, okay? I'm just saying. And I felt sorry for that old man out there looking. Before you ask, no, that old man wasn't me, okay? He was looking for his car very intently with it, okay? How desperately do you seek God? You seek Him? Do you long to be with Him as much as you did when you were first saved? Do you have a passion burning within you, a desire, a zeal to know God? Do you try to spend every minute with Him that you can throughout the day? Do you talk to Him all day long? If you really want to know God, it's going to take some effort. How do I seek God? Well, it's going to take some effort, number one. Number two, I'm going to have to make Him a priority. That may mean you get off Facebook for a while, you get off social media, and you turn off the TV. Make God a priority. In a few weeks, we're approaching the season that in the Christian church is known as Lent. It goes from March the 6th to April the 18th this year, and a lot of denominations observe it as a ritual, a part of the annual church calendar, a season when the members practice giving up something. Now, we as a church don't practice Lent, okay? But we're going to talk about it in a few weeks and talk about why they do it and what it's all about and how they do it and things like that. But we as a church are going to be talking about prayer and fasting. And I was thrilled when I saw some of our folks post on Facebook, does anybody know anything about prayer and fasting? And I'm thinking, God, you've already led the pastoral staff in that direction. We're going to talk about giving up some things, making God a priority. How do you seek God? Number one, realize it takes effort. Number two, you're going to have to make Him a priority. Number three, you're going to have to be faithful to His house. You're going to have to be faithful to His house. Don't tell me you love Grandma and Grandpa if you don't ever go by Grandma and Grandpa's house to see them. I'm just being candid with you. Scripture says in Hebrews 10:25, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, even so much more as you see the day approaching. What's that mean, preacher? Well, in English, that means just go to church. See, you can't be hit and miss in your church attendance if you're really serious about a relationship with God. I don't want to offend you, but I just want to help you. If church is not a priority in your life, you're not going to have a close relationship with God. Jesus Christ died, not my words, His. Jesus Christ died for the church. That's just the way it is. And I understand we're all sick. I understand there'll be occasions when we're not here. But if it's just hit or miss, and I'll decide when I get out of bed on Sunday morning whether or not I'm going to church, you're not going to have a close relationship with God. If you get up on Sunday morning and you said, you know, today, if you said to me, let's go to the beach, we're taking the day off, we're just going to relax, and you've got enough energy to go to the beach, you've got enough energy to go to church. Preacher done gone, quit preaching and gone to meddling. Why do you need to be in church? You need to fellowship with other people, but you need to hear the Word of God that is taught and that is preached, okay? A lot of our sermons build one on the other. We lay a foundation, and the next week we put a block on it. The next week we put a block, and we're trying to help you build the Christian life. Let me ask you, how easy would it be for you to graduate a class in college if you only attended that class like you attend church? Let me ask you this. How long would you keep your job if you only were only as faithful to your job as you are to church? There should be a priority in the house of God. Some of you will go out sometimes and say, preacher, I didn't understand what you're talking about. I'm just to be candid. The reason you don't understand, because you didn't hear what we spent 30 minutes last week building, laying the foundation for.
I can't help you if you don't want to help yourself.
Every one of us are still learning. Did you hear that? I said every one of us are still learning. None of us have arrived. We all need to know more about developing our Christian walk. And if you're serious about a relationship with God, you'll be serious to this house. You'll be faithful to this house. Wait a minute, preacher. I take exception to that, okay? Why? What's wrong? I can read my Bible and study at home. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that, okay? Because if you're serious about having a relationship with God, not only do you have to be faithful to His house, but it brings me to point number four, okay? You've got to be reading your Bible and having a prayer time daily on your own, yourself, okay? You've got to do it yourself every day. Last year, many of us read through the New Testament together as a church. Some of you came up to me and said, "Preacher, that's the first time I've ever read the New Testament through." I was so proud of you. But what are you doing this year? January's gone. 30 days, 31 days already gone now, okay? Have you finished the book of Matthew? What is your reading plan? The reason we fail is because we fail to plan, right? If you don't have a reading plan, you better get you a reading plan. Did you know you could have already read through the book of Proverbs this year if you'd have been reading one chapter a day? You could have been about 20% of the way through the book of Psalms. What is your reading plan? As you read, let me encourage you to journal, to write what you read about. The individual came up to me a few weeks ago and said, "Preacher, I want to show you this." And they brought a journal and they showed me their journal. They said, "Preacher, thank you for encouraging us to read our New Testament this last year. And every day as I read my Bible, I wrote notes. I wrote what that chapter was talking about. I journaled what it said to me." They have tears in their eyes. It's a blessing to the preacher's heart. But what have you done since January? If you want a relationship with God, you realize it's going to take some effort. Number two, it's going to have to be a priority. Number three, you need to be faithful to His house. Number four, you've got to be reading the Bible on your own. But reading the Bible on your own is not good enough. Number five, if you want a relationship with God, you better be memorizing His words. That's why we're focusing on Scripture this year. Last year, the goal was to get you in the Word. This year, the goal is to get the Word in you. Scripture says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." I need to get you in the Word and get you to memorizing the Word, because the Word will keep you from sin. The Word will keep you from straying off, keep you from going out doing things you shouldn't do. It'll help you as you deal with temptation. As we memorize verses, it directs us. It gives us wisdom what to do. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, who giveth liberally. You preacher, I don't know what to do. Are you in the Word of God memorizing it? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Preacher, I don't know where to go. Are you in His Word, reading, studying, memorizing? As you memorize those verses, God will bring things back to remembrance for you. We're just covering some basics. Some of you saying, "Preacher, I already know that." Good, I'm proud of you. You know it. But are we doing it? It is so simple, but it is so profound. It is so shallow, but it is so deep. How do you seek after God? I've got to wrap it up. You've got to realize, number one, it takes effort. Number two, you've got to make God a priority. Number three, you've got to be faithful to His house. Number four, you've got to be reading your Bible on your own. Number five, you memorize His words. Number six, some of you are thinking, "Well, preacher, I know you're going to talk about tithing now, aren't you?" No, I'm not going to mention tithing this morning, okay? You want to be serious in your relationship with God? Number six, the last thing I want to say, you're going to have to spend extended time in prayer with Him on a regular basis. And prayer is just not, "God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me." Prayer is adoration, adoring, love. Prayer is confessing. Wish I had time to talk to you about James, the brother of Jesus. At first, he was not a believer. But later he was converted. They said he was known as Old Camel Knees because he spent so much time in prayer that his knees were calloused and looked like the knees of a camel. Wish I had time to talk about Brother Lawrence, who was a monk, who was on duty. His job was simply to wash dishes, to cook the meals. And yet he said, I will not do anything that I do that I do not do it for the honor and glory of my God and Father in heaven. And he said, while I am working, I will pray. And he said, my entire day as I'm serving, I'm praying and thanking God, and I'm talking to Him, I'm fellowshipping with Him, I am communing with Him. And he believed it was easy to be close to God in prayer if you didn't wander from Him the rest of the day. George Mueller, a legendary prayer warrior, according to his autobiography, he had over 5,000 requests that were answered on the day that he first prayed them. You ought to journal so you remember what God is doing for you. George Mueller started 117 schools. He ran a group of orphanages in England. He took care of over 10,000 boys. His biography tells the story of many times they would sit down to eat. They would bring all the boys into the cafeteria, the lunchroom, and they would sit down to eat knowing there was not a crumb of bread in the house. They would bow their heads and they would begin to pray and thank God for His provision. And on more than one occasion, there would come a knock at the door and someone say, I don't know why, I just felt led to bring this. You want to have an intimate relationship with God, you're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to spend extended hours in prayer, in fellowship, talking to God all through the day. Because of some circumstances, I was questioning whether or not I would physically be able to preach today. And I had talked to Pastor Cotter. I said, would you be ready to back me up just in case you can? I got half a mind to let him come preach. He shared with me some of his thoughts. The reason they were in the trouble they were in is because they disobeyed God. Sometimes God sends the struggle our way. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. Because he's trying to get our attention, saying, come here, come on back, come on back. You're saying, preacher, I don't know why I'm struggling. So how much time have you spent in prayer with God? And if you are struggling not just because you got a problem, but you're struggling with the struggle, I can't handle this anymore. The problem may be I'm not spending time with God. Because if I'm spending time with Him, it don't matter what the storm is doing. I'm still at peace. And if you don't have peace, you've not spent time with Him. Savannah, come. Young man grew up in a rather large church, and he said, I want to become a big, famous preacher like you. So he went up to his pastor, and he said, could you tell me the secret of being a great pastor? The preacher told him, sure. Tomorrow morning, you meet me down on the beach. 6 o'clock in the morning. And the boy thought, oh boy, being a great pastor, I get to go to the beach and spend the day at the beach every day. I knew I wanted to be a great preacher. Next morning, that kid met the preacher down at the lake there. They walked out into the water. He looked at him and he said, you really want to know how to be a great preacher? He said, yeah. He said, then you're going to have to want to know how to have a relationship. He said, I want to teach you. He grabbed that young man by the back of the neck and he took him and he threw him under that water, held his head under that water. That kid's a kicking and a screaming and a fighting and trying to get up. And that preacher pulled him up and said, breathe! And it stuck him back down again. That kid fought for his life trying to get up from there. He pulled him up and he said, breathe! And he stuck him down again. They did that 3, 4, 5, 6 times. That boy's fighting for his life. And he pulled him up and said, breathe! And he's back again. Finally, that old preacher pulled that boy up and said, when you want to know God as bad as you want to breathe right now, then you will have a relationship with Him. A bad do you want to know God? You've never had a relationship with Him. We want to show you this morning how wonderful that is. If you are saved, are you developing that relationship? Are you settling just to be a casual Christian? No commitment, no involvement.